Good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but every time I'm preparing to move, I stop cleaning my current house. It's not something we intentionally decide, but it seems like every time we sign a new lease, we stop cleaning our current apartment. We feel like we belong in the new place, and we're so excited to move that living in our current place almost feels uncomfortable, or tending to it feels like a nuisance, irrelevant almost. Like if our name is going to be on the mailbox of a new place, why should we be good tenants of our current place? And I think we live in a similar tension as followers of Jesus. We know that we belong together with God, and yet we aren't there yet. We know that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people who belong to God, and yet we're here, living in the world. We've been spending our Sundays together in 1 Peter, and last week, those were the words that we heard Peter say to the Christians living in exile. Within the Roman Empire, these Christians are having a really hard time. They're marginalized people who are being oppressed. They have no power or even respected social standing. And in that place, Peter's letter arrives to them, reminding them that they are people who belong to a supremely powerful, mighty God. They are citizens of God's kingdom with a very specific assignment. You see, we're not just God's chosen people, like tethered to our Creator and our Victor. We are citizens of God's kingdom, living in the empire on assignment. There is purpose to our existence as followers of Jesus in the world. We're not on hold or in some perpetual waiting room waiting for Jesus. It's more like we're living abroad. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we have a temporary residency card to live in the world now. When I moved to South America several years ago, I remained a U.S. citizen. But I needed a temporary residency card to live there more than the 90 days that are granted to tourists. A temporary residency card allowed me to get a job and a bank account and a cell phone, an apartment even. And it required me to live within certain citizen-like guidelines. God has really specific instructions for us living as temporary residents in the world. And this morning, we're going to look at some. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 17. Here's what it says. Dear friends, since you are foreigners and temporary residents in the world, I'm encouraging you to keep away from the desires of your corrupt nature. These desires constantly attack you. Live decent lives among unbelievers. Then, although they ridicule you as if you were doing wrong while they were watching you do good things, they will praise God on the day he comes to help you. Place yourself under the authority of human governments to please the Lord. Obey the emperor. He holds the highest position of authority. Also, obey governors. They are the people the emperor has sent to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. God wants you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. Live as free people, but don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. Honor everyone. Love your brothers and sisters in the faith. Fear God. Honor the emperor. It's really specific, right? Like even as Peter is talking to exiles, people who don't live in their own country or among their own people, their presence, the shape of their life matters. And it's not just about being a good Christian. There is great impact and significance to their presence within the Roman Empire. There is great impact and significance to your presence in the world right now. And Peter's instruction can be kind of divided into two parts. The first part is this: do what is right. And Peter describes doing what is right in some really specific ways. Keep away from desires that corrupt you. Live decent lives, obey people with authority, honor everyone, Love your brothers and sisters in the faith. Fear God. Honor the emperor. What you do, how you interact with people, how you respond to authority and the guidelines, how you live out your daily grind matters. Now, this doesn't mean obeying blindly. It doesn't mean participating in corrupt or broken systems of injustice or compromising your integrity. In those cases, we're often called to use our voices to speak up or to stand with the marginalized or the oppressed or the unjust. But what's true in this state is that Peter is calling us to do what is right right now. It's our charge to consider, respect, be thoughtful and informed as we honor those in authority and their instructions to us. We're called to pray for those leaders, to be gatherers within our communities that do the right thing. And in doing the right thing, we're called to treat each other with dignity and respect. You know, now that we're a few weeks into it, I've noticed how much wearing masks impacts our social interactions. You know, when I have a mask on, I interact with people differently. I'm cautious, skeptical, guarded almost. I don't engage easily in conversation. I don't even try to exchange a smile with another person. And all this has me thinking about the power of eyebrows. Like if my eyes and eyebrows now have to do all the work to communicate kindness and dignity, compassion and respect for the people around me, well then I better put them to good work. We have to look people in the eye. We have to listen a little bit harder to distinguish what we're saying behind layers of material. We have to be patient with one another in our collective fear. Because it's hard to do what is right when you are tired. It is hard to do what is right when you are burnt out. It is hard to do what is right when you are scared and lonely and sad. Culture shifting, city changing work is often really hard. And what's true is we are better able to do this work, we're better able to embrace the charge to do what is right when we understand that it has really significant purpose. Because when we do what is right, God becomes visible to people. Peter says, live decent lives among believers. Then although they ridicule you as if you were doing wrong, while they were watching you do good things, they will praise God on the day he comes to help you. We don't do what is right for our own reputation or because Christians need better press. We do what is right because it's one of the ways, one author says, the sovereignty and justice and goodness of God becomes visible among the nations for the sake of the nations. We do what is right. We turn away from evil. We honor authority. We love each other because it points to Jesus. It points to Jesus' mercy. It points to Jesus' humility. It points to Jesus' everlasting kindness. Doing what is right does not point to you or to me. It points to Jesus because we are following his examples. When Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives, our actions and our presence are oriented around him. What's true is we wouldn't get to this measure, we wouldn't get here on our own measure of goodness and kindness. What's true is most of us have run out of our own supply of kindness and mercy and love by week, whatever this is, of quarantine. But there is a greater story unfolding in the world right now. Jesus is alive, and he's present, and he's near to us through the Holy Spirit. And God desires to be in relationship with each person in the world, each person in our city, each person on your block, each person in your building, each person in your family. Do what is right, for it points to God that is reaching towards the world in love and in mercy.